What else? What's on your mind today?
You know, what's on my mind is 2021. And, you know, we talked last week as a team and we're all individually, you know, putting together goals that we want to set for 2021. And so, you know, that got me thinking about my role and, as a director of brand and just reviewing, you know, some of the stuff there. And so, you know, I wanted to take some time and ask you some things just about my, you know, my VP role. And I don't know if everybody else has other questions about their own roles there also. And then just pick your brain a little bit about, you know, how we do team accountability. You know, you've got, I think today's our last call. I'm not sure.
Look, I'm as bad as you are looking at that. I just show up where they tell me to, you know.
Same way, yeah. So I have no idea, but I thought it was a year, you know, a calendar year engagement. So
yeah, it is, but it's also the number of months, you know, so 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, my rough math says it's our 7th month, but who knows? So I get, you know, I give you nine months.
Okay, so we got two more
monthly calls. So according to my math, I've got a couple more for you, but
okay.
Lori and I get juxtaposition because I'm not the best at keeping track, but I'll check it. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay. So you want to go through, why don't you kind of lead off? What you're thinking about in terms of brand management, and then we'll go to the others.
Sure.
Or, well, that's fine if you want to do that, John. I was just going to say.
No, what were you thinking, Scott?
Well, you know, so we're all evaluating our roles, and I one of the things as director of leadership that there's a lot of improvement for, and I think once we all got working remote, I got lazy. In terms of, you know, the calls I had with staff were getting a lot less structured.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day as director of leadership, a lot of these things with accountability, I think, fall on my shoulders, and I haven't done a good job of that this year. And so that's a personal goal, and everyone else's goals are going to be affected by that and the execution and implementation of everything else to some extent, you know, the buck stops with me as director of leadership. So I just, because John was talking about accountability, I think it's important that, you know, so if you want to speak to that in terms of my role with leadership, and John, I didn't mean to preempt you, but it just seems like that's a decent starting point.
Sure. I mean, you know, I wrote this down, accountability coach. Everybody needs an accountability coach. And that is your role. That's your most important role as the leader of the team, because it's a role nobody wants. It's like being in charge of development on a board, right? That means you're the guy in charge of fundraising. Nobody wants that job. Same thing is true with any board. Nobody wants to be accountable or hold people accountable, and that's why teams underperform, underachieve. It's why human beings underachieve. Lack of accountability. So in every great team, they have boards up on the wall with goals. I went to Wake Forest, and I visited the golf house, and the coach is there, and I look up on the wall, and there is every player's name with their goals for the week. Okay? And it's kind of like, wow, okay. You know, here these kids are having to be in school, do their grades, but when they go to work, which is their golf, there's their goal for the week of what they want to accomplish and how they want to get there. So it was very impressive. And it just shows you that Jerry Haas, the coach, is really a nice guy and he's very supportive of the kids. But in the end, he understands that they're there to win. And if they don't have that, you know, that game board up there of what they're going to do for the week, they're not going to, at the end of the, they're not going to, when we look up at the scoreboard, they're not going to win. So that's why we say the game board is about the practicing. What are you going to do this week so that we win in our game next, you know, on the weekend or next Monday?
And the game board falls under me, VP of brand.
Well, the game board, no, it's a marketing initiative. It's a growth thing. It's about game.
Okay, it's that's about, what we thought, but like in the actual Supernova coaching guide.
Well, you're in charge of making sure that the meeting happens.
That the game board meeting happens.
But in this case, it would be Jeff would be leading the meeting.
Okay.
Okay. You make sure the meeting happens. You're supposed to make sure all meetings
right?
happen.
And I'm supposed to make sure that John makes sure that happens.
That's right. So, you're supposed to make sure John makes it happen, and you're supposed to make sure that Jeff is there and makes it happen.
So, Rob, one of the things that I struggle with in terms of execution and is just my personality. So, I mean, I remember when I got hired into the business and did the Briggs-Myers, Dennis Braden, who hired me, goes, "You're unorganized as fuck, but I'll give you the structure. You're a hard worker and you'll be successful. You just need structure," right? The reason I joined the team is it gives structure that I can plug my talents into. So one of the problems I've got in terms of holding everyone accountable is putting in structure of how to do that, right? Like if I have structure and it's on my calendar, I do it.
Yeah.
If it's up to me to formulate it, to come up with a system to track it, it's my weak spot. And I'm just trying to figure out how to manage that.
Okay. So I'll tell you exactly. All right. So you want to have each player on your team have an individual folder, right? Put your name on it.
Yeah.
In a rack, you know, I have my racks here. And you want to have an appointment set with them every month.
Mm-hmm. What's the agenda of that meeting?
The agenda of that meeting is to go through their personal goals and their professional goals, both as a team member and as an FA. Okay, so they have two sets of goals, right? Just think of it as when I was a Navy pilot, I had my goals that I had to achieve, number of flight hours, safety requirements, and so forth as a pilot. But as safety officer, I had my goals to maintain the safety of the squadron.
Wait, you were a naval pilot? I didn't know that. Aren't they aviators?
Aviators.
Okay.
Nasal radiators.
Yeah.
That was me. Naval aviator. So that's why I love checklists and process. I mean, because we never, you know, you left your hangar and you began your checklist right away. You know, your pre-flight checklist. And then your, you know, whatever, all the checklists, pre-landing checklist, and so forth. And that's what you want. You want to have a process for each of your guys to to go through. So your personal and professional goals. And their goals and the two sets of goals professionally are as an FA and then as director of one of the responsibilities. So you should have a copy of everybody's business plan for their particular area of specialization on the team. And then hold them accountable to that plan every month. Okay. So it should be a year-long plan broken down into months, and in the case of marketing, broken down into the weekly goals. So you want to bring in $200 million in assets. Break it down. That's as an FA, what are you trying to do? How much is your personal contribution to the team? What am I responsible for in terms of bringing in assets and so forth? And then what am I responsible for in terms of the initiatives that the director of implementation is supposed to do for the team?
So maybe a real world example would be helpful to delineate the flow of responsibility. So Chris is the director of planning, the very title of all our financial planning, right?
Yep.
So there's some things that we want to do there that we've discussed. So that's a leadership thing. When I talk to Chris, and Chris, I'm not singling you out. This is just an example I'm thinking of to try to figure out the flow of who's responsible to make sure, because we all have things we're supposed to be getting done that are falling through the cracks. So I should be talking to him monthly about, hey, here's one of our goals. How are we doing tracking on that? So John, where does he fit in terms of, is he saying, these are the things that we should be working on? So in other words, if we set a goal, is it who's responsible for the follow through to make sure it's executed?
Chris. Chris is responsible in planning for that. Okay. You're responsible to make sure he does it.
Yeah.
So he sets the goal. All right. So let's use planning. Planning is fairly simple, right? We want every client to have a plan, and we have a certain ritual in terms of when do those get renewed? How often do we review the plans, update them, and so forth? You guys set those goals. When, how often, and so forth. It's like, and the game for Chris is to have his goals 100%. Now, this year, you know, in the first quarter, I don't know where you are, but you're probably fairly close to that. And his goal is also to maintain the quality of the client experience as in the planning process. So he would be in charge of making sure that there was adherence to the process by every member of the team, because he's not doing all the planning. He's just in charge. So that would have to do with everything that you're doing. So he's in charge of making sure that there's consistent brand management, brand alignment with your process. Basically, everybody's following the checklist.
So let me interrupt you. So tomorrow we're going to, in our meeting, we're going to all discuss our personal professional goals for next year.
Yep.
So there should be a forum, I'm assuming, for us to help each other set goals. Like, here's what we think is important on implementation. Here's what we think is important on leadership, right? So we all have an opportunity to do that.
Sure.
So then is that John's responsibility to make sure that those team meetings happen to help inform our personal decision or our personal goal setting to get team input? If he's a director of implementation, of making sure things happen in terms of meetings?
Well, it's more of John's in charge to make sure the meeting happens, but he's not in charge of how the meeting goes.
Correct.
That's each individual director, and he's not in charge of what Chris decides are the goals. The team's in charge of whether the goals will satisfy the overall vision of where you're going. You said, you know, you've set a 5-year plan of where we want to be in 5 years or 3 years or whatever. That's where we want to be. And then Chris's job is to implement that plan overall and make sure. And your job is to make sure that he is accountable to that commitment, to that vision. So you're constantly, as the leader, you're constantly reminding the team, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this?
I think I can answer your question. The VP, it's the VP's goal to create excellence in their area. Okay. So, right. You know, Chris and I were talking last week about, you know, the financial plan. And I was like, you know, I'm not doing a good job at asking the questions necessary for the financial plan to be completed on the call prior to the review meeting, you know. Mm-hmm. Chris, good luck. You got to figure out a way for me to do that well. You know, maybe that means the month beforehand in the, you know, calendar, it's all the questions that I need to ask. I don't know, but that's him to develop. Once he develops it, it's your job, Scott, to make sure he's doing it. So has he, you know, if he says it's Natalie's job to put it on the calendar for everyone beforehand, I'm the director of brand. I'll make sure she gets that done.
Right.
But that's my job, is to make sure that whatever the VPs create as a process, I make sure it gets done.
Right. And so I guess my question was related to like discussing goals tomorrow. We haven't done that in a long time to sit and talk about these things. So, but that falls on you to make sure we have those meetings for goal setting.
That we have a game board meeting, which I think Rob, is that, I mean, that would be, I would call it game board and scoreboard, right?
Well, the scoreboard is the score, right? You know what the scoreboard is. You're going down the court, bouncing your basketball, looking up how much time do we have left? What's the score?
Yep.
Okay. That's how we do.
Game board versus, is activity.
Versus our goals.
Scoreboard is results.
Did we bring in the assets? Did we do the production?
Yeah.
That's in the end, you know, and everybody would report how they're doing versus their goals in the scoreboard meeting. So in planning, we said we'd be here by this time. Halfway through the year, we're supposed to be here. Are we here? And you do that every week. That's the score. Okay. The game board is really more of a marketing effort. The game board is all about growth. So the game board is driven by the director of growth because we want to spend 50% of our time thinking about growing. Right? So, you know, how are we going to grow? And we're each FAs and with each have responsibilities for growing. So have you set up your mastermind group? You said you were going to do it this week. Did you do it? Okay. So it's activity. This is what I did for activity to grow. That's what the game board's about. Remember we called it the giving board and the idea is that in order to really get more introductions, we got to give more introductions. We got to create rituals around our activities. So those are all the activities that lead to growth.
That's so the game board, the sample game board that is in the Supernova coaching guide, it's a sample, right? I mean,
It's a sample. It's just you guys can spend all your time on centers of influence, but in there will be things like mastermind groups, centers of influence, niche marketing, things like that. There'll be lots of different things.
Yeah.
So, you see what I mean? That's
we created our own and we probably got a little too granular and we haven't used it. We've been terrible at it. You know, I'm not going to throw that on Jeff. I'm just saying, I think we made it too difficult. You know, we actually had like a daily checklist and we're just not using it. So.
Yeah. To me, you know, one of the ways to make the game board meeting come to life is to talk about the pipeline every week. Okay. So that's one. Number one is what's our activity. Number two, what's our pipeline and where are we on the pipeline? So that gives you some concreteness to talk about, you know, what are we doing to move the ball down the field with this client, with this prospect? And how many do you have in there and are they any good? So you want to have a team pipeline where everybody's contributing. And that's not the, you know, this is how much we brought in assets and this is how much we did in production. It's all the activity to generate that. And here's, John, the key that I realized is that when I coach teams that are all about revenue, you know, current revenues, not annuitized revenues, like insurance teams that sell annuities or sell life insurance, they live and die on the pipeline.
Yeah.
And we have, in as much as we might say poo-poo that and say those guys are bad people because they sell high commission products, you've got to admire their tenacity at the pipeline. They're brilliant at it. And they know exactly where they are every second.
Yeah.
All year in terms of what their year is going to end up like. I have coach guys that are a complete train wreck. Okay. With everything else except the pipeline, and they're brilliant at the pipeline. I wouldn't give them 2 cents for their ability to, do 12-4-2 or, you know, do financial planning or, but they're great at the pipeline. That's why they're big producers in that industry.
They're only as good as their next transaction though, too.
Right. So that's exactly right. And they are tenacious. So you want your, you know, and there's nothing I'd rather see than you guys be that crazy about your acquisition. As if you got to almost pretend we're getting nothing from annuitized revenues. And we're going to live and die on the assets we bring in this year. It would be a revelation in terms of what you're really here for every day.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, you got the money already, right? We sit here and pat ourselves on the back because we're making money on existing money and it's up, you know, 15%. Great. Congratulations. You managed the money.
Right.
That's not Michael Jordan stardom. Okay. That's average. And you guys aren't average and you want your team to be extraordinary. The extraordinary happens on the acquisition side.
So another question I had, and I don't, you know, in the Supernova coaching guide, you've got, the gap analysis.
Right.
So this is basically like, I mean, is this like, something you do once a quarter, once a month? This is basically
I do it once a year around this time of year. Everybody goes, okay, let's stop and take a peek and say, okay, everybody, where are we on planning? How is Chris doing? How are we doing on planning? What's our ability? What's our execution? Give us a number. Our ability is a 10. Our execution is a 6 or a 7. Okay. Now maybe Chris would be harder on it because he's saying, look, I'm good at this, but everybody on the team isn't a 10. So I'm going to mark the whole team down to an 8 because we still got guys that need training, right? So
this is measuring the team, not measuring the VPs.
Go ahead. What?
This is measuring the team, not measuring the VPs.
This is measuring the team. This is facing the reality. I mean, in goal setting, the most important thing is to face reality. What is the truth? Where are we? What's our real ability? What's our execution? And then realistically, where can we be in both of those pieces by the end of the year? Where can we be on our ability and where can we be on our execution? So do we need to get some more CFPs? Do we need to get, you know, CFA? Do we need, what else do we need in terms of technical training to get to where we want to be at 10? And then where do we want to be in terms of execution? You know, we're at a 8 or a 7. We want to be by an 8 by the end of the year, or an 8.5 or a 9.
Okay.
So it's really something where you guys aren't blowing smoke up each other's, you know what? You're really helping each other. And you, if you have a bone to pick in that area, you pick it during the, you know, self-analysis and say, you know, I don't think we're quite as good as we think we are in planning. And I'm just using planning. And then you do that with each area. I don't think we are where we should be in our investment process. We think we're hot shit, okay? But I don't think we are. I think we need to, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And then, you know, examine each area and say, where are we in our terms of our ability? And then where are we in terms of our execution? That's your gap analysis. And you also want to do that in terms of, are we missing something? Is there a skill set we're missing that we could use on our team? If we were going to, I mean, this is what companies do, right? They buy new companies. They buy people that fill in. When they do a gap analysis, they buy a company that fills in a gap. They don't have enough new products. They don't have enough new R&D. So they buy a company that's just got a big pipeline of R&D. So maybe you buy a person that's really growing fast that has a particular niche and you bring them into your practice. The other thing seriously to think about do we want to acquire other businesses? You know, there's a lot of senior people retiring from the industry right now. And, you know, is that a distraction for us or is that a smart acquisition? And just like, you know, half the companies that buy companies, they should never have bought them, right? So you want to be smart about it, but you don't want to ignore the fact that you're a really high quality team where you really take great care of your clients, that any senior guy would be proud to have you guys take over their practice and service them very well. But you want it to be a particular niche, right? You don't want it to be take over all small accounts and have to have somebody pay somebody to take over small accounts. So that doesn't work, but it's just kind of a thought that some, you know, director of growth should be thinking about that as well as growing by bringing in individual accounts. If you can bring in somebody with $400 million, it's probably not a bad idea if in fact, you know, they're retiring and they need a place and they've got great client base.
Yeah.
So, and John, heck, you might even know this answer anyway, but when you're acquiring a company, use the analogy, there's a lot of companies that buy bad companies out there, but obviously if you're buying a book, there might be a lower end of the book that we generally don't want, but that prospective seller wants some of those smaller accounts taken care of. How does that go about? Do you feed it off to someone? I think like Bobby in our case, John, Scott, and Chris. But how do the mechanics of that work?
Well, if you're asking me, I would suggest that you can make an agreement that you will take the clients of such and such side, and then another team or another individual outside of your team would take the other ones. Somebody that you respect but doesn't have the same minimums that you have. That would be probably a harder sell, but it makes all the sense in the world. To take on all those clients and then have to get rid of them, probably not the right thing to do for the client, for the FA or the clients. So, you know, discuss that ahead of time and and just say, we're not being cocky about this. Our minimum is this. We want to help you. We'd love to work with you, but we need to do this in partnership with Johnny Smith over here, who takes on smaller clients, but we have a lot of respect for him, does a good job, does 1242. And so he's going to be, you know, we're dual partnering. Yes. It's like companies that sell off different divisions to different people, right?
Ian, okay, I'm sorry. I don't know, Chuck, do you have additional questions there?
That was just a curiosity I've thought about for a while.
So, Rob, in addition to for us, it's a Monday today. Before we meet with you, where we go over game board and scoreboard. On your, team communication and business planning, you've got, a monthly meeting with, a planning meeting session with the 5-star VPs reporting. What are they reporting? Progress towards their goals and the stuff they're talking with Scott? What are they reporting on?
Okay, so my vision is that we have a growth meeting on a Monday, and every week we have a scoreboard meeting. Both meetings can be quick. They're just accountability meetings. They're not long meetings, we've already done the long meetings at the beginning of the year where we set up the goals for the year and we know exactly, we've done our gap analysis, we've set up our goals for the year. Each person submitted it. Scott's got all the plans, all the goals. And then every week we know exactly where we should be by certain points for every area, and they report in. The monthly meeting is just a little longer version of the weekly meeting. Nothing more than that. Just maybe if the weekly meeting's a half an hour, the monthly meeting maybe an hour, because we're going to talk about, this is what we've committed to do in terms of our month. This is our initiative. The director of implementation has been training us on alternative investments for the month, and this is what we're presenting, so everybody comfortable with that, and so forth. So it's just a little longer version, and then the quarterly, what might be a little longer, semi-annual, a little longer, and the annual meeting might be a half a day work. But they're all based on the same thing, the initiative of what you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it, and you're always just matching up against your time. You got time and deadlines, and you've got your goals versus the deadlines. That's what makes a goal. A goal without a deadline is just a wish. So it doesn't have to be complicated. The daily stand-up meetings, in this case, whatever you have, 15, 20-minute morning meeting before everybody gets started is just, what's gone wrong? What's happening? Is there anything we all need to know? And then we're all off on our own. And especially in the COVID world, those things are really important. Just to communicate, just to kind of check in.
Yeah.
But the meetings with Scott are kind of like, I'm having a lot of trouble with this, or I'm not, such and such is not helping me. He's not doing his planning. You got to talk to him. And then Scott, your wonderful job is to go and talk to that person and say, look, Chris tells me that there's some issues in terms of your planning. You don't seem committed to it. What's going on? And then that stuff goes away. You see, nobody wants confrontation, but you've got to do
it. I have to take all of the Schindler complaints and take them to Schindler? We're going to have to schedule
we should meet every week.
More often. Yeah, we've got to meet more often.
Yeah.
With his psychiatrist.
who did I offend yesterday?
I think it was me.
I don't know. Any more questions? This is good. This is really good.
Yeah, this was
I will say this has helped crystallize a lot of things for me that again, because of the way my brain works, I sometimes get the terms confused in supernova and what one term means, very clarifying in terms of the flow of responsibility and how I can structure it so that I can execute my part of it better.
Yeah, nobody, it's not fun being the leader. That accountability piece isn't fun. Good leaders create a vision of where they want to go and why it's good for everybody, why this is going to change the world. And so sometimes you need to go back and look at your purpose. If you haven't written out why you're doing all this stuff, maybe that's something you can do too. So you can remind people, this is why we're doing this. We're doing this to change the world and our mission is simple, to improve the client experience worldwide by improving your experience. Okay. That's as simple as it can be, but that's a great mission. And every time I get in conflict with something, my people will remind me, Rob, even though they're stealing our intellectual property, we're getting our mission out there. We're improving the client experience. And isn't that our mission? Yes. Correct, Cindy. That's our mission. And even though they steal 1242, we don't care. Okay. So that's the way you've got to think. Okay. Whatever it is, focus on your mission and what it, something bigger than all of you, why you come to work and why you love this business. Because you're really helping people, right? You're bringing them peace of mind, protecting them from bad decisions, help them make better choices. All the things that you do that are wonderful that have nothing to do with which direction the stock market's going.
This has been really helpful, Rob. Maybe if we do have another call, we could just review all of our individual business goals with you on the next call. And, you say, yeah, that's great. Or,
if you want to send me them too, they can be just one page, write them out one page, send them to each other, have everybody check off, send them to me, and then we'll meet and talk about them and figure out, is this the most effective way to do this? What haven't you thought about? I'm happy to do that, John. You guys are great. I love working with you. So we'll definitely do at least one more. Okay.
All right. Sounds great.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. Right.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks. Have a nice holiday, guys.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.